fascinated by the fact that the Lord has provided for us in His Word words to help express our desire to ask Him for His forgiveness. It's a helpful thing. And then to have included at the end there the assurance that indeed redemption, God for Israel from all his troubles will send. So that's a great comfort. Let's return to our study now of 1 John. And if you would turn with me to the end of that book, 1 John chapter 5. John chapter 5, I'll read verses 1 to 12. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, which because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. As you read 1 John chapter 5 there, particularly this chapter, although it's true in the whole book, you simply can't get around the repeated theme there, belief. If you believe, if you believe, if you believe. As we started into this passage a month ago, we recognize that in 2010, it's nearly impossible to talk about these things without trying to define what we mean. It's almost impossible to have a conversation about belief in a postmodern world without having to really be careful to define what you mean. And so we started off trying to do that last time. Postmodern thinking has had such an impact on our society that even the idea of having a common understanding about what words mean is written off as if that were somehow being closed-minded or you were being too restrictive. Well, the problem with that is, in our society, that eventually communication breaks down altogether. If you don't have a common agreement about what words mean, you might as well be speaking gibberish. I say something and you don't understand what I mean because we don't share a common definition. So we took our time last time to try to define what is meant by belief in God. And so this is part two of that, belief in God. What does it mean? We said that to believe in God does not merely to believe that he exists. That's not true ultimate belief in God. It really means to place our trust in him, accepting all that he says about himself and about how we might be right with him. What does he say in his word? And to believe those words. It was a contrast in one sense we made about believing that something is true and believing in. Believing that and believing in, they're quite a different thing. In fact, one sense you could stand quite aloof from something that you believe is true, that it is true. But it's quite different when you believe in someone. To believe in God is to love him, is to trust him, is to rely upon him. We then went on to say that belief in God, according to the Bible, also necessarily means that you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. You can't simply say that you believe in God and to reject Christ. That doesn't make any sense. That's logically inconsistent. The Bible gives no room whatsoever for any other belief system. No other messiahs, no other saviors of any kind. Those who are born of God believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. So we want to continue now. We've said what it's not. We want to go on here to believe not simply that God and his Son. We want to believe also, belief means obedience. It means obedience motivated by love, according to the passage we've just read. And this, as we've been going through the book of John, you can see that he's really trying to decide what is authentic and what is not authentic belief. those who claim belief in God and those who truly have a saving relationship with Him. So what's the difference? Well, when you say that belief means obedience, motivated by love, that's a strike against those who claim to believe in God and yet like to live according to their own standard of what's right and wrong. They want to be the one who determines what is right and what's wrong. So the one who's truly born of God will love God as He is, as He's revealed Himself, as one would love a father and obey a father. Verse 3 points out that love for God is really synonymous with obedience to Him. And here's how we know if the spiritual birth is real, whether in our own hearts as we search our own hearts or whether we're looking carefully to discern about other people. And this has been a theme really throughout the whole book of 1 John. He asks the question again and again, do we see true faith there in this individual? Do we see true love? Do we see obedience? And these three are really inseparable, faith and love and obedience. And those are marks of genuine saving faith. And of course, our whole goal is not to simply be looking at other people. We need to be looking at our own hearts, examining ourselves as the Lord calls us to do before we come to the communion table. Is there faith in my life? Am I living my life every day earnestly and honestly, relying upon God and trusting in Him? Is there true love for God? Do I place His church, His body, the church, as one of my highest loves? Is there obedience to God in my life? Am I really, in practical ways, seeking to walk with Him? That's saving faith. That's genuine faith. Now, that's not to say that we're going to all demonstrate all of those areas of faith and love and obedience perfectly, but they will assuredly be present in some form or another. If you're born of God, you will love God. You will do these things, according to the Scripture. So, listen to how Reverend William Guthrie writes of this in his book, Your Salvation. This is what he says. True sanctification proceeds from love toward God. Although a true believer does not always, and some never experience this love in a very sensible measure, this love is nevertheless to be found on the bottom of his heart and manifests itself in sorrow over the absence of and a desire for the presence of God. This love also manifests itself in seeking after God as well as in a high esteem of God, desiring that God Himself would be the object of his walk. It manifests itself in joy when God is acknowledged, exalted, and feared and served, as well as in the inclinations also to glorify Him. And out of all of this proceeds the motivation to refrain from sin, since sin exalts itself against God's supremacy, His majesty, and so on. And from this motive proceeds the practice of virtue. So love in God and following it out in action. So love is a verb, isn't it? We know it's to be a verb. And it's not just the warm feelings. It's not just the warm fuzzies. I was on the airport in Chicago yesterday waiting to get a shuttle back to Indianapolis by a flight. And I overheard a conversation of a woman and her husband on the phone. She was traveling. He was somewhere at home. And I don't have any idea what he was talking about on the other end, but all I could hear was this woman. And I thought, by nature, this is a marriage. This is a loving relationship. And yet I saw on the phone no hint of that, no hint of love whatsoever. And she was young. They must have only been recently married. Love was not a verb to her. It was a feeling, apparently. And she didn't feel at the moment when she was talking to her husband very loving. But it's an action verb. It's an action word. If we love, we will do something. We will take action to serve the other person, to make the other person's interest more important than mine. John chapter 15, verse 10 says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." When we love God, we put His interests first. We die to self and we put His interests first. Now, speech comes easy. It comes very easily to us as we proclaim our faith in Christ. To say we believe is easy. To obey is putting legs on those words. So faith and love don't consist in mere words only. Even well-intended words, they exist in determined action. So a good way to evaluate this is to ask the question, when people look at my life, what do they see that sets me apart noticeably from one who doesn't believe in God? And that belief in God, as we've defined it now, and love for Christ and obedience and trust in Him. So as I try to evaluate it, I look at my life and I say, what sets me apart noticeably to other people? Do they tell? Can they tell? Because there obviously ought to be a noticeable difference between a believer and an unbeliever in their outward walk. So that's the second thing. Belief means obedience. It means a motivated obedience to walk in love. Third, or I'm sorry, maybe be fourth now. I think we're up to four in our total. Belief means sure victory over sin. Verse 4 tells us that everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And it's interesting that when he says that, the emphasis in the sentence is on everyone. Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. John's emphasis there is on everyone. So there's no one who names the name of Christ. No one who truly trusts in him can stay beaten down for long in sin. All who have had their spiritual birth given to them by God have overcome the world. That's a statement of accomplishment already. It's already been accomplished. They have already done so. And therefore, they can claim victory already, even though they have not seen that victory in its complete form yet. Now, anyone who trusts in Christ, trusts in the one who said, "Take heart, because I have overcome the world." It's Christ who has done so. And so, like in the other things we've talked about today already, in his righteousness and his resurrection, it's our union with Christ that gives us victory over sin. His love for us, that same love that's demonstrated itself in leaving the glories of heaven to take on human flesh and endure all these things, assures us of our victory also. And then finally, I'll talk about belief meaning life. It simply means life. When you look at this passage in John chapter 5, 1 John 5, it means life. And the second part of this blessing is the natural outcome of victory over the fallen world, and that's eternal life. Adam and Eve were cast out of paradise, and they were made subject to a life that was on a road to death. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, they certainly began to die physically that day, and they were cast out of this experience of life. But God the Son came in the flesh. He came so that man who was already subject to death might be placed once again on the road to eternal life in paradise once again. Remember God's testimony about Jesus Christ, his Son. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." He also said, "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So today you ask yourself, as you examine yourself before coming and discerning of the Lord's table, do you understand what it means that he has broken his life, he's taken his life and given it for us, and so on? Well, the Spirit of God, who has always drawn men and women to be reconciled to God through his Son, is still doing that work. So we need to ask, do I have the Son? Is my belief a genuine belief in him? And does that show itself being motivated in love into a life of obedience? God not only testified during John's day in the first century, but he continues to testify to us today that Jesus is his Son. So the question is, do we believe it? Do we really believe according to what John 5 says here? In the words of Guthrie, "Do you seek to walk with a heart that is inclined toward God? With a heart that seeks sweet union with God, even though it might not be immediately experienced? With such a heart and the godly seek to regulate their entire life, their entire walk." John said, the gospel writer, "If a man loves me," I mean, he's quoting Jesus, "if a man love me, he will keep my words." 1 John, he writes, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." It's very straightforward. One of the things we're to do as believers, true believers, is to live differently than the world. If you do believe in God, then remember what that means. It means living accordingly. So today, be filled with faith. Be filled with life. Be filled with love. Be filled with obedience and be filled with hope as we trust in him. Very simple message today from this passage. It's very familiar to us, but it is our hope in Jesus Christ. That's why we come to celebrate his death, because it gives us life. Let's bow in prayer.